You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? This is RBLR Sports. My name is Liz. That's Tom DePinto and Fafo, the most adorable cat. Tom, we're both sick, but how are you doing?
I'm sick, but I'm better than I was a week ago.
I'm hoping I'll be better in a week. I got to be better by next Saturday, at least, because that's the Carolina game that I'm going to.
Oh, yeah, you have to be.
Yeah.
You got your real ID? They're going to let you fly?
I hope so.
I don't think they're doing that yet.
I got a passport. Right. I got an ID. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, you're set. You got everything.
Yeah.
You were a citizen, that's for sure.
A sovereign citizen.
A sovereign citizen.
We're just going to go back to that bit that no one is going to understand. It's fine. Yeah. Never mind.
No, we don't have to do that because we had a good game this week. We don't have to rely on bits. We can do soccer.
We can, yes. We have a couple of things to run down today. We have a new signing. We're still signing.
Four games left. Sure, whatever.
Still signing. We will recap our win against Dallas. We will preview Lexington, excuse me. Next season schedule that just came out, which is bonkers and also incredibly helpful. Thank you very much to the Super League and the front office for making that happen this early, honestly. I feel like we don't even get the Rowdies ones this early. We definitely don't get the Rowdies ones in the same season. That's bonkers, right?
This is quick. I know it's a weird season setup, Super League, with a weird season break and like a short off season, but this is still pretty quick. So cool. Yeah. Thank you, League.
For sure. We'll recap the other matches going on this weekend. But first, if you're new, hi, hello, welcome. Come look at our pretty faces on YouTube. If you're returning, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Leave us a comment. Who was your player of the match? We'll get to that in a minute, but let us know who your player of the match was.
Yeah. I'm sure you got one, and I'm sure it's just as valid.
Yeah.
You guys are smart. If you listen to us, you're smart. You're well informed.
You're smart. You're smarter than me, who didn't say the name of the channel, which was at RBLR Sports on YouTube.
There we go. That's everything.
Smarter than me. We're gonna blame it on the DayQuil.
Yeah, we're both hopped up on cough meds right now, so
we are.
Any mistakes, that's the reason. Okay.
Yes. Please be forgiving in the comments. We're both hopping up on DayQuil. I have had the longest weekend I've had in a very long time.
Yeah. So yes. Let's start off. If you watched the game as you should have, you saw her. A little bit of defensive reinforcement. I know we've had some injuries back there throughout the entire course of the season, including recently. So we grabbed a good player with some experience, someone very intelligent, which is something I know Denise looks for in a player. We got a 25-year-old defender/defensive midfielder out of Sargentsville, New Jersey, out of Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey. We got Gabby Provenzano. A good Italian girl. Another one. We got Nocello. We got Provenzano. We got Jamona. Look, Denise knows what works. So, a little bit about Gabby. Gabby from the provinces. She's a graduate of Rutgers up there in New Jersey. She collected just about every honor you could get while she was there.
That's a long list.
I had to parse that list. She got 103 games played for the Scarlet Knights while she was up there. Scored 5 goals from a very defensive-minded player. Impressive. Let's run down that big list. She was the 2018, 19, 20, and 2021 Academic All-Conference. 3 times Distinguished Scholar. The Sportsmanship Award for the 2020-21 season. 2-time All-Big Ten First Team. 2-time All-Big Ten Tournament Team, College Cup All-Tournament Team her senior year, All-Region First Team junior and senior year, Big Ten Defender of the Year her senior year, Mack Herman Trophy semifinalist for the best player in college soccer her senior year, All-America First Team, All-America Scholar First Team. So she's out there. She
So not only do we have a very good soccer player, we also have a smarty pants.
Yes, we have a little kinesiology major genius. So she's going to slot in as she did come in as a substitute in this game. So she's a good depth piece for the midfield, for the defense, and a good depth piece for the athletic trainers. If one of them is feeling a little under the weather as we are, Gabby Provenzano can slot in because she knows her stuff. So, yeah, 25 years old. She does have some pro experience. She's had a run of bad luck in the NWSL. She was drafted 2022 by the Portland Thorns along with Sydney Nasella. But since then has gone through a couple leg injuries and has only made four appearances in the NWSL for the team. A couple friendlies here and there, but a good part of the culture up there. They seem to have liked her. She participated in, you know, she was a co-captain in a charity game they had up there. She's a whip smart, driven person, which more than anything is something you really need to succeed at the pro level. You can be a good soccer player, but without that added mental, it's not going to click. And she's got that. There's a reason Portland kept her around for that long, you know, through everything that she's been through. So I hope she stays healthy down here. She sticks with us because she's a very promising, still young professional player.
It helps if I unmute. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for doing the research on that.
Hey, Gabby has to be smart. We don't have to be, right?
Yeah. All right. Hey, Tom, did you hear we beat Dallas?
I heard about it. I watched.
We beat Dallas. Yes. Hell yeah.
Finally.
This is very exciting, honestly. I think I predicted a win, but I think I predicted like a 2-1 win. So I definitely did not predict a clean sheet. Was very happy to see a clean sheet by the end of the match. But starting 11 was a little bit different this time. I was trying to lead into that real smooth-like, and it did not work. We have Hannah Keen with her very first start. Exciting. We have Hannah Keen up top. Right next to her, we have Flint. Right behind them, we have our attacking midfielders.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Okay. Right. I got this. I'm going to get
the higher up the field, the more attacking you are.
That's right. All right. Nasella, Giamono, Haugen. And then we have our midfielders, Moore and Listro, with our defenders being Paige, Hendricks, and Bissett. And then we have Sydney Schneider in goal this time instead of Orcus.
Yes. Yeah. I think Schneider looked good in goal. It's a very interesting, you know, they always show it on the graphic as a 3-5-2. Like we have three backs, five midfielders. But man, it gets interesting. Haugen was our second most advanced player the whole game. If you've watched the Sun lately, you should be getting it by this point, what the game plan is. And I mean, you would think our opponents would be getting it, but we look incredible every game. That's great. Haugen gets super advanced up the field. She's the second most advanced player, according to average position. And that's her not being one of the two strikers, which shows how Flint has that freedom to drop back into the midfield, help disrupt things. Giamono pops up high a lot of the times because she's playing interplay with Flint. Keen is more keen on playing the striker position, as it were, and not just a forward, looking for those goals. And the team just moves really well with and without the ball. Settling back into defense, you see a lot of players getting on their horse to trot back. So I think they're all very much bought into the game plan. You don't see a lot of – you do see a lot of changes in the formation as far as personnel, who's where, especially given what happens in this game by necessity. But even with the substitutions, with players moving around – it's one very fluid unit. It's a team hitting its stride, playing very well at a very pivotal part of the season, heading into the playoffs. This is a good Dallas team, obviously second in the league right now. And we went out there and really looked like the better team for 80, 90 minutes.
Yeah. I have multiple times in my notes here that I, that they don't look, they, at one point I have, they are no bark and no bite. And then I have that they are some bark and no bite. And then it's all bark and no bite. Like it's at no point am I truly worried about it. It's a little bit bonkers. Just a couple of things to start off. So Tosh has scored half her goals at home. I thought that was a fun statistic that they mentioned.
Yeah. And she's got a good, she's got what? Six goals. Eight. Is she up to eight now?
I think she's at six.
She's at six or eight. Because 10 was the magic number and somebody hit that.
I thought it was six.
But that's kind of the story for the team as a whole is as good as we are when they're playing in Tampa, they're one of the best soccer teams in the country, I think. Between the ball movement and everything, the cohesion, they look really good when they get to play on friendly terms.
Yeah, and honestly, just all night, we were so solid. We had Dallas's number the whole time. Like, even, and we'll get to it, we go a man down. At no point was I worried. At no point did it look like we were playing a man down.
No, absolutely not. I think once that happens, there's a little bit of, obviously, there's more space in the field. There's more chances for Dallas to get forward. So not to say like, oh, we don't miss her at all when she leaves. But defensively, it created more space for Dallas to operate in. But offensively, it's like nothing happened. It's exactly what you want to see out of a team. If you lose a defender, you're going to lose a step defensively. But offensively, nothing should change. Why should anything change?
Yeah. So let's start it off. You had Nocello. She did have a great shot right up the side. She has a long dribble, doesn't have any help.
Yep.
Which is fine. I'm okay with that right in the beginning. We're still getting our feet warm, all that fun stuff, getting the feel of the game. Hannah Keane has a shot right off in the 7th minute. I love her starting. I love that she can help Gia Mona out a little bit, take a little bit of the weight off her shoulders of having to just be that pathway in between. And she's also a very attacking forward, which we love.
Yeah. We don't necessarily have a midfielder whose job it is to connect the defense to the midfield so much as a midfielder whose job it is to connect the defense to the attack so much as the entire attack bends and morphs around the play to find the space and to create it. Everybody does that now, and that's what you need. It's total football.
I
was a little worried in the early goings, the first 10 or so minutes. We had a lot of long dribbles from Carly, from Sydney, and it just looked like we weren't getting forward. It's a unique position. My notes were live because I was watching at home instead of rewatching and taking notes. And so this was all off the cuff. I was worried we didn't have the speed. We couldn't keep up. I thought we were too old in the midfield. I just watched the Rowdies the night before, who were definitely too old in the defense, but that's another thing. So there was some worries that were kind of pretty quickly allayed in the 9th or 10th minute. By some really world-class ball movement in the midfield. Haugen playing it to Tosh. Tosh brings Carly off of a couple one-touch passes to get her into space. And like you said here, it was really good from all of them. Jamona just tried to do maybe a little bit too much. But when you see that much of the goal, your eyes get wide, and it's not as easy as people might think.
I have for the 10 minute my Jamona because I think it's just the funniest reference. She had a great assist from Jade. Jamona tries to nutmeg the keeper. She does catch it. I believe she gets the rebound because she's frustrated that she didn't get that first shot off. And the keeper does eventually get full hands on it. Where was I? It's cold medicine. Fuck. I apologize.
Hey, we're sick and so is our team, baby.
Yeah, we're sick and so is that defense. Episode title, Care of My Boyfriend.
I'm over here muting the mic while I cough. it seemed like we were really looking for Carly in the early goings, and a couple times.
Goins hasn't come on yet.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You think you're so funny, huh?
I do. I think I'm really funny, actually.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Goins wasn't on yet.
Thank you.
She's usually a sub for us, so she's more of a late Goins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, I can't even right now.
You love me, and you know it.
Yeah. Carly was having, she was probably feeling a little bit like I do right now, just having a bit of a rough time in the early goes. But I think throughout the game, she doesn't get that goal, and for a number of reasons, obviously, with our team, the way the game played out. But she kind of adapted her game to stop looking for the ball and start dropping back a little bit more. She fell into the role of, look, if I'm not going to be the finisher tonight, I'll try and shoot when I can shoot. And she does, but she drops into more of a facilitator role. It's a very, like I said, total football, very good stuff.
Yeah. And then we get to the 13th minute. The most wonderful minute.
Yeah.
Where Hannah Keen scores, my God, just the classiest goal. It is absolutely beautiful. If you've not gone back and rewatched it, first of all, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But second of all, please go back and rewatch it, because it's a goddamn beautiful goal, honestly. She has three defenders on her, and just taps it right in. Super easy. I can imagine her mom must have been losing her mind, because I was losing my mind.
Taps it right in. You are downplaying how magisterial this goal was, Liz.
But she does it so easily.
Yes, it looks.
That's what I mean by taps it in. I apologize. Like, I am not I don't want to underestimate how beautiful it was and how much talent it took. It was just the amount of ease that she put into it.
Yeah, it was. She roofed it. It was a total banger. Yeah. She got past two defenders. Got one on one with Jenna Walker, a very solid defender for the Trinity. And she dogged Walker and left footed, tight angle, nothing anybody in the world could do about it. Just knowing that we've had this absolute monster just getting healthy this entire season. And now that she's back, she's shaking off the ring rust. She's back on the field. She's remembering how to play soccer. The whole team is getting dangerous at the right time, and in no small part because of the contributions of Hannah Keen.
I'm not saying the universe had to take Hannah Keen out for a year to make it fair for everyone else.
Right.
But.
Yeah.
The science is there. It's proving me correct.
The league would have been born if we had her from the get-go.
Yeah, we would have been too good. We would have just been too good right off the bat. It wouldn't have built character for us or something. I don't know.
The universe does end up I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the universe does act to make things more interesting in this game.
I mean, the next interesting thing that happens is the 25th minute. It's this red card. It's the first red card in Super League history. It's I love that we made a banner for it. Go Super League, Eureka.
This is massive.
Yes. As many, and we predicted, although I don't know if everyone else was predicting this too, or if we just had sun-colored glasses on, but we kind of knew we were going to get the first red card. It doesn't help that we have the most we have the most fouls conceded in the league.
Yeah.
312. That's so many, guys. What are we doing?
That's gritty football right there. That's Tampa is a blue collar city, okay? I don't care what anybody says. Founded on cigar workers. Out there.
Slight tangent. How many times did Tosh Flint look at the ref and be like, "What do you mean that's a foul? That's just how we play soccer. It's a contact sport."
This game or this season? Because
this game alone.
100.
Yeah, at least. It was kind of funny to be like, she's just like.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why? Why just keep play going?
They do it differently in England, I guess.
Mike had a good question for her. He's like, he said, we should ask her if she hears the hit the weight room chant and if she really likes it.
Yeah, she's got to be the strongest player in the league.
Oh my God, she's built like a brick wall.
She's the Akin Fenwa of the USL Super League.
Yeah! really is. Sorry, really? that was like a boah.
I just watched him play last night. I'm big on him right now.
I also loved it because he was an AFC Wimbledon player.
Yeah.
Adebayo Akinfenwa.
Love him. He's a good guy. I'll send you some highlights. You'll like him. But yeah, we knew, and I think if you were paying attention to the league numbers, like you said, 312 fouls conceded, most in the league. We knew for sure. I think if you were paying attention to the league, you had a feeling it was going to be the Tampa Bay Sun that did it. You thought maybe it would be Hendricks. Maybe Bissett, maybe Flint, maybe Moore.
My money was on Bissett.
Yeah. I had Flint, but okay. But I, when you really look at it, you can't be too surprised at Jordan Lestrow. To say what Denise Shieldy Brown said, she's not that type of person. She's not that type of player. But the role she is asked to play, and the type of game that the Sun like to play. It makes sense that the foul is going to come from one of our defensive midfielders. Let's get right into the hot takes, the controversy. I'll say it. I don't think it should have been a red card. I straight up don't. I think it's a yellow.
I'm torn. I have two wolves inside of me. I guess
we all do.
One says your foot should never, ever, 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 ever be that high.
Right.
And like flat out, that's it. Your foot should never be that high. It has no reason to ever be that high.
Yeah, that's where people's heads are.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other wolf is like, that bitch Amber Brooks leaned into it, and you know she did.
She's smart. Yep. And if you listen to the post-game interview, that's exactly what Denise said. She's a smart player, Amber Brooks. We've played Dallas 4 times this season. We know how she plays. We know she's wily. This shouldn't come as too much of a surprise, because it wasn't something where she was going to hurt herself, putting herself in position to get hit or whatever. But it would be a good kind of – a good excuse, a good reason for the referee to reach for the pocket. I think there's recklessness – In a yellow card, and there was certainly recklessness in what Jordan did, getting her boot up that high. But in no universe do I read that action as having any malicious intent. I don't even know if she knew Brooks was on rushing. You know, I think
that was gonna be my other thing.
Yeah,
you can kind of, if you go back and watch, and this is something you'd only get from VAR. I did not. The ref made. In my opinion, the ref made the right call in the moment, because that is.
She got hit in the head.
Foot was high. You don't know that she's leaning in. You don't have VAR to check. That is a red card. I understand.
Head injury, point of emphasis. Yep.
Yeah. However, if we had VAR, I think they would have seen that Jordy's leg is up before her head whips over to see.
Yeah. And
to Brooks see that Amber Brooks is in the way. And I think Brooks, you can kind of see her leg go a little dead leg, because she doesn't want it to be straight out.
Yeah. In my opinion, if you're Jordan Lestrow, you're trying to get a piece of the ball to change where it's going because you don't like where it's going, even though you know you're not going to, you know, tightly control it and have it in your zone. You just want it to go somewhere besides where it's going. So you're trying to get a piece of it. On the other hand, if you're Amber Brooks, you're seeing Jordan Lestrow and the ball. So when you run in with your head down to try and get ahead on this ball that you can see another player is looking to get a piece of, I think there's some personal responsibility there of you running into something, running into a dangerous situation. You know, it's a two-way road. If you want to keep players safe, you got to encourage players to not do unsafe things by awarding red cards in this sort of situation. Because if somebody sees this, they say, oh, I get my head down when somebody's boot is high. I eat it. You know, I'm tough. I can take that. It's not a hard kick when you're that high up. You can't get that much power behind your leg. They're going to think about maybe that's an option. That's something I can do to get another player sent off and get a tactical advantage for my team. So I don't buy that Amber Brooks is totally innocent in this. I'm not, you know, victim blaming, you know, or nothing, but like, there's no way she didn't do the quick math on that situation before going in on it. She's a smart player. She's a professional.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're appealing.
Yeah. Because so we'll unfortunately, see. This would mean that she is out for this Lexington game, which I am not the most concerned about, but would like to have Jordy for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Lexington, lads.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have here most of the time. Like, it's just, I'm still not, 30 minutes in, I'm still not worried about Dallas. They foul us, which, by the way, Sierra Hinson just straight up kicks Sid Nacelo in the shin.
Yeah. If you want to talk about the difference between recklessness and intent,
yeah,
there was intent behind what Hinson did by kicking Sidney. But yeah, it's in the legs, not the head. So can't be a red.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I get it. If you just saw one of your players get fouled, you're going to want to push back a little bit. That's the nature of things.
Oh, I have to say, I have to make a quick note. The 33rd minute, Paige does her throw-in, and you can tell she's from a family of dancers because she has pointed toes. Her toe that leading and behind her is pointed.
Yeah.
And it's just very cute.
So great.
And it's maybe something you would only notice as a dancer or someone who's done dance classes like myself, but like, it's just really cute.
Yeah. What a talented family the Paige last name redacted family is.
Yes. We just look really good on the ball, honestly. We're just the right place, the right time. We were in sync tonight or that night. It was good.
Yeah, and this is a 10-person team we're talking about now.
We've been sitting at 10 people for by the time we talk about this, about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But sorry, where we're at in the game, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, right. But that's what I'm saying is if you lose a defensive midfielder like Listro, it's going to create some chances for Dallas to find openings on the break. You know, if you lose a defender, even if you adjust, it's going to be kind of a mismatch. You're going to find more dangerous chances. Not saying it's worth losing a defensive midfielder in any opportunity, but that's where you see things happen on the counterattack because there's less disruption. We did kind of move players around. I was trying to keep track of things, but man, it gets difficult. I know Haugen, what it looked like is Haugen dropped back into more of a defensive role to fill in that Lister spot that was right behind her. The heat map, the average positioning map kind of shows otherwise, but I think that just goes to show when we had the ball and when we were even on personnel, how advanced she would get. But she did a good job of dropping back in. I think the whole team kind of rotated well. Sidney Nacelo does her ritual 35, 40-minute side switch that she does, you know, to test the left side for the first half of the first half, test the right side.
At one point, she's fully on the other side of the field getting a ball. Like, it's insane. Her position is the field.
Yes. It's so fun to watch. She's incredible.
Me and Mike and I were just going back and forth, just making jokes this whole game, honestly. Talking about how freaking short the Dallas players are, and I'm short. Okay, I'm like 5'3½ on a good day.
We're allowed to say this.
Yeah. And like, Mike had a great one. It was Dallas players walk past parking meters and think they're in a forest.
Jesus. Team full of hobbits. Yeah.
Honestly, they're so short.
So messed up.
It's just weird.
It's just weird. Hey, they.
Why are your midfielders so short?
Everything's bigger in Texas except for our women's soccer players, I guess.
Apparently.
Yeah, it was a pretty chippy game. I did put in my notes here at one point that I just don't like Dallas Trinity, which, you know, fair, given how all the games against them have gone. We haven't beaten them until now. They hurt Carly Jamona in the first ever game we played. I blame Amber Brooks.
That was Amber Brooks, by the way, just if anyone forgot.
If I lose my phone, it's Amber Brooks' fault. Everything, you know, if I stub my toe, it's because of something Amber Brooks did.
It's Amber Brooks' fault.
If my computer turns off and I was working on something and I forgot to save, Amber Brooks did that.
Yep.
That's what I think. And that's what a lot of people
think. Drinking the Haterade today, huh?
I mean, that's what Tosh Flint thinks. That's what assistant coach Eric Leite thinks. Leite? Leite?
We don't know. That, man. All I know is he got a yellow and I love him for it.
Yes. That's real stuff right there.
Yep. Hey. Yeah, Flint gets a yellow. He gets a yellow.
I think it's the first time we may have mentioned him on the podcast, actually. So shout out assistant coach Eric. Tell us how to pronounce your name. We appreciate everything you do.
Yes.
But yeah, getting yellow from the bench is like, that's so cool. I love that.
Oh, and then Carly gets a yellow like a minute later. Oh no, this was the same one. So yellow, Flint. Wait, do you have Flint gets a yellow? Isn't it Carly?
That was Flint.
No, but Carly gets a yellow because she kicks the ball after the whistle.
Where did that? Oh, I didn't check the game recap. Did we get like in that whole sequence?
Yeah. I think your yellow, the yellow you have for Flint was Carly.
Okay. Well, that's on me. Yeah. I was watching live.
I think Carly didn't. I legitimately think Carly didn't hear the whistle. But even if she did, she just kicked the ball. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But she got a yellow for it for dissent. And then I think that's when Coach Eric got the yellow for probably saying something like saying what BS that was.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When you get the first ever red card against your team. And I hate to go back to the red card thing again, but like going into this, you know, 31 weeks without a red card, without a sending off in the league, you start to think, oh, it's going to have to be a pretty valid red card for it to happen. If we've played like 100 soccer games without one happening, it's going to have to be like, yep, that was a red card. And then to have it be debatable, I feel like it's a bit of a, I don't know, a letdown. It feels weird. It feels really weird to me.
Question. Will this now open the floodgates on red cards, or will we not see another one for like ever?
Right. It'll be us again. I don't know. It's so weird that red cards are such a storyline in this league now, but we'll see. Maybe you're right. Maybe it opens up the floodgates. Maybe every other referee is like, oh, thank God somebody did it. Now I can start pulling it out.
About halftime, but just before, I have to note, Schneider was doing her best Orcus impression of like saving the ball really casually and then like falling to waste time. It was great.
Yeah, Schneider.
And even then, I have still not worried. TBH, some bark, no bite.
Schneider was fantastic, but I think if Orcus was in for this game with a player down, we would have seen some levels of time wasting and shenanigans that were previously only thought to be theoretical. Like,
Marcus would have gotten the second red card for double time wasting.
Yeah, exactly. Right? She would have just a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been good. She makes coming out of the halftime. Carly's keeping the pressure up. Looking really good. These are your notes I'm reading, so my bad. Mm-hmm. But I think Schneider comes out, she's called upon now to do a little bit more in the game. And I think that makes sense. When you go down a man in the first half, it's a little chaotic. Teams are filling it out. You use halftime as the opposing coach, as the Dallas coach, to apply what you want your team to do for the next 45 minutes against a disadvantaged side. So it does make sense that Dallas, I never really that dangerous. A couple chances in this, but
nothing I felt Sydney Schneider couldn't handle.
Exactly.
I felt she couldn't. I never at any point was I like, oh
no, never shaky. She looks extremely confident back there. It's one thing when you're playing with the Jamaican national team against Mexico for two games. It's another when you've got the Tampa Bay Sun defense in front of you, I think. No disrespect to the Jamaican defense, but it's just different at the club level sometimes. Mexico is a fantastic team, and Dallas isn't Mexico.
Yeah. What is it? Yeah, Dallas keeper has 9 clean sheets. Not going to be 10 that night. I liked that note. That made me happy.
Yeah.
We also had a 2877 announced attendance, which I don't know if that was actually... I don't think that's the scanned tickets, but I think we had like at least a solid 2,500, which I think is pretty good for a rescheduled game. Yeah. Which very frustrating that this game had to be rescheduled.
It definitely counts, season ticket holders and stuff. I know there were a lot of people who had tickets and were going to be there Saturday and then couldn't make it Sunday. I don't think I was going to make either day, besides. I thought I'd have a better time spending my weekend coughing and throwing up.
It is fun.
It was decent, you know. I think I'd go to the game next time, but now okay. I know. Now I know.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so at the half, it is Tampa Bay 1, Dallas Big Fat Goose Egg.
Yes.
Keen comes out, Flo comes in. I like this. I'm perfectly happy with a nice halftime sub. Let's get some fresh legs in, get a new perspective. Someone who's been watching the game and been like, ooh, I bet I can take advantage of, number blah, blah, blah over there because they keep doing this, which I feel like Flo is that type of player, honestly.
Yeah. Keen's got her goal, but she's still coming back from injury. I don't know if you want to push her to do 90 minutes.
She got a goal. She did her job as far as I'm concerned. She's good.
You don't want your striker out there when you're down a man, like forcing herself to play extra defense when she's still getting to game speed. Flew's young. She's 22, right? 23. Let her go out there, run around, play some defense too.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too much happens for like, I want to say up to like the 55th minute. Schneider makes a couple of good saves. The commentators announced that Dallas does tend to score 2/3 of their goals in the second half. That did make me a teeny bit worried.
Right.
But only the teeniest bit because, again, of how they were playing. They just seemed very discombobulated, very much just having the ball but not doing a lot with it. But also because we weren't letting them do a lot with it.
Yeah,
we were very quick on the attack. I was very happy about that we were still quick on the attack, but no one really felt like they were unmanned at any time. No one felt like they were missing their player.
Yeah, it didn't seem like we had less players in the field.
That is no discredit to Listro in any way, shape, or form. I would say that's more of a credit to the team and their ability to adapt to 10 men.
Absolutely.
10 players, sorry. I literally had a note somewhere saying that the commentator said 10 men. And I was like, the only man on the field is the referee.
Yeah. And he made a mistake. Yeah. 10 people out there for us. Going back, like I said, there's more chances for Dallas to push and you would see some of this. I know maybe I got the 64th minute, I think was the one time I went, oh my God, they're going to do. Okay. Schneider's there. exactly. Because they do get a couple good chances in the alleys when we don't have, Moore and Listra have been so pivotal in those spots, defensively speaking, where they're such a solid unit. They can read each other. They know exactly what they want to do. The defense has been very consistent as well in that regard. So when you have to change it and you have to rotate back, defensively speaking, we didn't really have less numbers because we just kind of peeled a forward back and made her a midfielder and made a midfielder a defensive midfielder, made a defensive midfielder a defender. That's what you do. So we weren't really outnumbered, but the personnel was different. And we were out there playing second stringers against first stringers, sort of, first choice, second choice, a little bit quicker than we normally do because of that. So Dallas got a couple good chances. Paige got put in a weird spot on Dallas's attacking right side, her left side, and they played a really good ball in, and she got turned around a little bit, but man, Schneider was right there on top of it, coming out off of her line and leaping on top of it. Couldn't be more impressed.
Two minutes before, very important, we had our first roof ball.
Oh yeah.
In Large James history.
Large James. Yes.
Anyway, we can call the stadium. Just a funny name. I can't believe
that's actually the first time it's been that's the roof of the parking garage, right?
No, the roof next to the supporter section.
Oh my god, okay.
The building behind us. Like, it wasn't a swamp ball, it was a roof ball.
Oh yeah, okay. So that's it. Yeah. They didn't catch it on the broadcast. Thank you.
Yeah. These are the important things that need to be said.
It is pretty incredible. We've had like a thousand balls. If
you go back to the 62nd minute, you will hear us chanting roof ball, roof ball.
Okay. Yeah, we had 1,000 swamp balls because that's just, you know, a shot that's a little too high. Yeah, roof ball, that's a weird angle.
Yeah.
Who did that? How'd that happen? Who did that?
That was a Dallas shot, because I definitely think we said, how wide do you want the net?
How tall do you want the net? How wide do you want it? Yeah. Good.
We also got in a great one of Schneider denied her chant.
That's really good. I love that.
Yes. Credit to JD for that one. That one was phenomenal. We workshopped that. JD really came up with it, honestly.
That's his second shout out in a row on an RBLR soccer podcast, by the way. They mentioned that man on the Rowdy Show last night.
Oh, hey!
Yeah. His influence is massive.
Massive.
Yeah, so we do end up making a couple more substitutions, right?
Yeah.
It's about the 65th minute. It's a trio of subs. Paige comes out. Zaid comes on. So that's a wing back for a wing back. Moore out. Gabby Provenzano makes her debut. And Sydney Nocello comes out after running her ass off all game for Parker Goins.
Yes, you have to put the pit bull back in the cage sometimes.
Yes, because she will
make it stop running.
They don't know no better.
Honestly, though, I literally have where is it? I have it on here at some point that it's oh no, it was. Of course, I can't find it now, but I have it. Sydney Nocello is literally on the other side of the field. She is on like the other side. It was ridiculous.
She does what she wants. She plays where she wants. She'll run you down and dig you an early grave. I love her.
Yeah.
So I love to see Provenzano coming on after having only been signed a couple days ago. I don't know if this is one of those she's been training with us, she's been on the practice squad sort of situations. But she, the faith you have to have in the abilities and intelligence of a player to say, we're down a player. We need to play smart defense, go out there and do it. And she looked great. You know, she didn't jump off the page, and Zay jumped in for Paige, but yes. Gabby didn't jump off the page, but that's not what you're supposed to do as a defensive midfielder. You're supposed to fill in the gaps, plug things. If you're doing something incredible as a defensive midfielder, that means somebody else screwed up somewhere else. So to have her go out there and do that hard work, that human's work, fantastic to see. We needed that depth. We really did.
Oh, my Provenzano Odeon was just Provenzano comes on. I was also on nighttime cold medicine at that point.
Okay. I was going to ask how stoned were you taking these notes last night?
No, just cold medicine.
Okay.
Yeah, there's 20 minutes left at this point, and Dallas has looked menacing like twice.
Yeah.
That's about it. I mean, it's a little bit weird. Like, they don't start pushing till the 79th minute. Like, what are you doing, man? That's when they finally like kick it into gear almost.
Yeah, the urgency kicks on and they're like, look, maybe we've run this team down a little bit. And now we can finally do something about it. But I don't know. They weren't. If I'm a Dallas fan, I'm really, really upset about this game. You know.
I mean, I was trying. I had one freaking job. I'm not wasting it on that. One freaking job for this game, and it was Chili Palmer gave me his scarf that he has all the coaches signed on them, and I had one job to get the Dallas coach's signature. And I couldn't get it because now she ran to the refs at the end of the match.
Oh my God.
And then flew into the locker room.
Yeah. Well, she should be mad. Pissed. She should be.
Yeah. They play like trash.
Yeah. Yeah. We end up making a couple more subs. 76th minute. We get a Flint comes out. Andrea Hoekstra to tier comes on. Looks good. Nice sub to see things out. I think that's kind of what you want. That's putting on younger legs to see out. Just smart, just good stuff. And then another one in the 86th minute. This one I don't love as much, only because we shouldn't have had to made it. But Carly got, she got a knock in the head region and had to be taken off. And that would normally be all of our subs, but this was the kind of bonus concussion protocol sub. So Ashley Clark got a chance to come on, which we'd love to see.
Yes, absolutely.
But very interesting that the one concussion protocol sub was utilized on something that wasn't a foul. Meanwhile, Amber Brooks is out there running around still. But whatever. Hey, that's...
It's fine.
Hey,
I don't know. Was when Haugen was hit in the head, was that the corner? Because there was one ball where I can't remember who it was because I my brain is not working at the moment. One player who took a header, and that's all it was. It was literally just took a header just like right in the right spot, and it knocked her out.
I think that was Haugen because I was
okay. Yeah, that was not Dallas. I'm all for blaming Dallas when they've hurt our players, but that truly was just a header to the head that was just a little too hard.
Yeah, I was yelling about it in the Discord, and they were like, I think you were like, no, it was just the ball, relax. But yeah, I've got PTSD from the very first game of our franchise.
Understandable. When
Carly got hurt by Amber Brooks, so yes. Very anti-Dallas.
Yeah. And reasons we love Ashley Clark. However, she did get a little too cute with a shot, and it bounced off the post. Would have been a nice one to have a really seal that with a 2-0. But game ends and we won.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Down 70 minutes, 10 players versus 11 against the second best team in the league.
It did not look like it at all.
My gosh. This is exactly what you want right now.
This is the prettiest soccer we've ever played, and we only had 10 people.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
We got to look good in May, because May is the end of the Super League season. We got to start, deciding, what months mean what in this league now. But you got to be good in May, baby. And
yeah,
Christ, we look good.
Yeah.
And that's good. We don't have to look that good against the team we're playing next.
No, we don't.
Because they have not
availed themselves. But we probably will.
But we probably will look extremely good.
Yeah.
Our next game.
No, we play Lexington.
Yep. The horses.
The other horses that we will turn into glue.
Oh, yeah. We just played horses.
We will also become glue.
Yeah. So this will be our fourth matchup against 8th place Lexington. They are 8th place, right? They are.
Yeah, it was really nice of them to take that load off of DC's shoulders.
Yeah. DC is, hey, they're cooking right now.
Absolutely. That's what I mean. DC doesn't deserve that anymore.
No. So, yes, we've got last place Lexington. We've played them 3 times already. We went up there for our first road win, beat them 3-2, had a good watch party at Mary Margaret's. And then they played us twice down here. We beat them 3-1 in November. We beat them 4-1 just about less than a month ago. So obviously we played
So great, new record. I hear new record. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing 5 goals and we're on the field.
5 mil, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. They're a team that is in eighth place and is playing like it. Their last five games, going back to 5 games ago, was that 4-1 loss against us, a 3-0 loss to Spokane, a 1-1 draw against what at the time was a struggling Brooklyn side, then a 3-1 loss to Dallas and a 2-0 loss to the Spokane Zephyr. 4 wins on the season, 16 losses, 5 draws. It's been tough in the Bluegrass State for them. They're still bad. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. We did this a month ago. Sarah Cox was the leading shot stopper when we played them last, but she got passed by Hope Heisey. She's now second. She's got 59 saves, even though the team has conceded 55 goals as a team. That's tough. I know not all of them have been her. It wasn't Sarah Cox in net last time we played them. It was the other one, the marketing Stanford major with a book writer boyfriend from Brooklyn or whatever, husband. I told you about this. You knew about this. What's her name?
The NyQuil.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's Lexington last. Don't worry about it.
Okay, fair enough.
And then they got
don't let John Hunt hear you say that.
Yeah, right. Hey, shout out, friend of the pod, John Hunt. I like all the Lexington fans I talk to online. They're cool people. And I think a lot of that is like when your team is good for like a long time and like always good, whatever, dude. But when your team is bad and their men's team is bad right now, their women's team is bad right now, when you're dealing with bad soccer week in and week out, from your men and your women, it builds some character. You either stop watching or you become really, really cool.
What's happening with the Rowdies right now? I'm building character.
We're building a lot of character. We're not cool yet, but we're building a lot of character in the Rowdies.
We're gonna build a. All right, I'm gonna use it. We're gonna build a metric fuck ton of character to when this airs tonight. Oh,
God. Yeah, we're gonna build a lot of character against Orlando.
Yeah.
Hey. If you haven't got your tickets and you're in Tampa Bay, go to the Rowdies game. We need you.
And wow, that's more marketing than the Rowdies have done.
Right. From the Sun podcasters.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're a Rowdies front office person, you're listening to this, take offense. You should. You should have been emailing twice a week since we got the news.
Yeah.
You should be sick of your emails.
The front office conceded the game to Orlando in the stands before it even got going.
Honestly, I could go on about that.
We should have called into
the RBLR Rowdies. Sorry.
Our team's great. We're doing great. We're fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we got Lexington next. That's what we can get mad about the Rowdies because we're playing Lexington. It's whatever.
Yeah.
I hope this doesn't come back and bite me. But like, no. We win 3-0. What do you think?
You know what? You know what? I'm gonna go out there 5-0.
Jesus.
Fuck it. You know what? Two what?
Yep. In the past 3 minutes. Yeah. 5-0.
Oh, no. That's two. My bad.
Compliments.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, super producer Eureka.
I got three. He's saying I got 3-0. You got 5-0.
Okay. Yeah. 5-0. We're doing it. We're doing it.
Eureka has 3-1. So he doesn't believe in our defense for some reason.
He doesn't. I believe in our defense. Our defense is on fire.
I don't get that. Talk to us about this after the show, Eureka. But we just held Dallas scoreless. So
Sunrise just spit out a middle finger and LOL emoji. What?
Okay.
I'm so sorry to listeners whose earbuds just like crackled at the high pitch of that.
I don't want Sunrise talking to me. I'm gonna go outside and I'm gonna kill a robot later. Electronics. I'm mad at my computer right now.
Tell Sunrise to go sit in the purple section tomorrow.
We're not friends right now.
No, we're not friends.
Hey Liz, you want to hear something cool?
What?
The season schedule for next year is out already.
What? Yeah, it is. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Yes, that's it's quick. Look, okay. I had some free time at work. I broke this down a little bit.
Free time at work.
Free time at work. You work from home. Don't talk to me about free time at work.
Oh yeah, I know it's not good.
Yeah.
The amount of work I do for this podcast is not good.
Yeah. So okay. It's still going to be the same number of games. 14 games in spring, 14 games in the fall, total 28. The difference being Jacksonville is coming on board next year. Not next year, next season, this year, later. So we will not be playing an even schedule. We will play four teams four times, and we will play four teams three times. Just due to the imbalance in the number of teams now. So we're going to have a 10-week off season after the playoffs, which is not long. So cool. Really good for us as podcasters because the off season can get really hard. So we're going to have a new signing every week, I'm sure. So it's a 10-week off season
every week.
We're going to keep a lot of our players. I hope. I love them all. But next season starts August 23rd, 2025. And that goes until December 20th, 25, picks back up January 31st, 2026, and goes till May 16th, 2026. So
we have a slightly shorter midseason break, which I am a fan of because that gives us a little bit. I mean, I apologize to Spokane. Hopefully you're playing us like in Florida at that time. But for people who aren't in Florida, for the love of God, we're dying out here.
Yeah.
We just had to play a game at 6 p.m. It was awful. I wanted to cry.
No, I think
they just promised a 7:30 and then they're like, yoink, 6.
Hey, good news about next year though, right?
8 p.m. opener? Hell yeah. That's awesome. I have to hand it to the Sun for getting that. That's awesome.
August, September, October, November. We have one home game a month for those 4 months. And the August one is at 8 and the others are all at 7:30. So
I love it.
I know the first part of this season sucked. It was hot. It was nasty. That first game, especially, I am traumatized. It changed my life, that game against Dallas, to open the season.
I just got a special kind of heat stroke that game.
Yeah. Yeah. So the fact of the matter is we've loaded all of our home games into the quote unquote winter months, which means temperatures should be tolerable for nearly every Sun game. Even the ones in August, September, October are going to be late enough where the Sun's going to go down. It's going to be pleasant. So I'm happy about that. There are those first three home games do overlap with Rowdy's games. And in fact, the first away trip to Jacksonville overlaps with the Rowdy's home game. But we play Jacksonville four times, twice at home, twice away. So we should be able to get up there to Duval and show out at least once with some really good numbers. I know that's something this year we didn't do too much of because it's, you know, first season's crazy. But I would like to see the Heat Wave make some good traveling arrangements for Fort Lauderdale and for Jacksonville next year.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's definitely – we'll – hooker by crook, that will be in the cards.
Yeah, yeah. Especially Jacksonville. I'm just excited for that team to come in.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're the first ones to play them too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we play them four times in the fall actually, and not at all in the spring. So yeah, we don't play DC in the fall at all, and we play them three times in the spring. So welcome to not having a balanced schedule. It's weird.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So I, from my perspective,
I don't care. We got 7:30 start times. I don't care.
God bless us. It's the best news ever, right?
As someone who's done noon football games, 7:30 is beautiful.
Yeah.
Sorry, when I say football, I mean American football.
Yeah, go Owls. Hey, they're having a really good run in the MCLA Club Lacrosse National Championships right now.
Good for them. That's the that should be the one sport those rich assholes are good at.
It, yeah, it really checks out that the only thing FAU is good at is club college lacrosse.
That tracks.
Hey, big week for lacrosse. Shut up. Let me have my tangent. Big week, big hey. Month for lacrosse. It's the national tournament all through May, Memorial Day, the championship games. So start watching. Wednesday is the playing games for the men's tournament. Friday, all the women's first round games. Saturday, the men's first round games. Let's go. It's lacrosse. If you haven't watched before, start watching right now. It's the best lacrosse you'll ever watch. Let's go lacrosse. I love lacrosse.
Where can we watch it?
ESPN Plus and ESPNU.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, you heard it. Watch lacrosse.
Watch lacrosse. Okay, so we play four teams four times, the Sun. Jacksonville, Brooklyn, Fort Lauderdale, Carolina. Okay, Fort Lauderdale, Jackson make total sense. Those are our local rivals. Brooklyn, sure, I guess. I mean, I'm definitely planning on making October 11th.
Do we have two away still to Carolina?
We are away to Carolina twice, once in the fall and once in the spring.
All right, I still get my trip. Good.
You get your Carolina trip, and I'm getting my Brooklyn trip.
Yeah, I want to try and do that too. That'd be fun.
October 11th. Let's try and get a little group together, because we play them August away and we play them October away, and I'm not going to be ready in August.
No,
I'll be ready in October though.
Yes.
So if you're listening, you have been drafted to the RBLR Heatwave away day invasion party to Coney Island. Congratulations. Jacksonville, Brooklyn, Fort Lauderdale, Carolina. Those are the teams we'll play four times. The teams we'll play three times are Spokane, Dallas, Lexington, D.C. Kind of wish we'd played Lexington or D.C. four times, right? They're not good. Maybe they get better next year, but we'll see.
Let's just finish this year.
Yeah. Hey, is what it is.
But I am incredibly happy, even if there are some changes, which I'm sure there's bound to be. I am incredibly happy and impressed by the front office getting the schedule all figured out well before playoffs, well before the season even starts. So shout out to them, because that had to be a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah. For the USL, this is straight up huge. This is one of those extremely rare.
For the women's soccer, this is huge. I remember seeing joke posts, people being like, NWSL schedule when?
Yeah. I mean, not just the schedule coming out, the fact that no teams are leaving the league.
Yeah.
I know we were all kind of hoping on more than just Jacksonville joining for the year two, but for DC to stay on, Lexington to stay on, for Carolina, Dallas, Brooklyn, Spokane, everybody to still be here next year, that's awesome. Yeah. I don't want any of these teams. I don't care how much I say I hate Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, anybody. I don't want any of these teams to go anywhere. I want them to last.
No, they need to exist for us to hate them.
Yeah, exactly. You know how empty my life was without a Fort Lauderdale soccer team to hate? Oh, my God.
Oh, God. I forgot how empty it was, honestly.
Yeah. So it's huge.
It's so nice to drink that Fort Lauderdale haterade.
Yeah. Hey, football queens of Florida, baby. We proved it.
Oh, yeah.
We got the only dub.
Florida's blue and yellow.
Liz, do you want to take us around the rest of the league and wrap us up?
Sure. Fort Lauderdale lost to Brooklyn at home, 4-1.
Some bad goals, too. It was not a good performance.
Didn't Brooklyn have, like, less than one expected goal or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, below one. Yeah, it was... It was gnarly. Yeah, so that don't look at that scoreline. Don't look at that scoreline and think, oh, Brooklyn's good again. No, Fort Lauderdale they're broken. So good for us.
They figured out they would never be the football queens of Florida, and they broke.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling the teams that are top four in the league right now, Carolina, Dallas, Tampa Bay, Spokane, I have a feeling those are your four going into the playoffs.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, we have Spokane played Lexington. Spokane won 2-0. And then, of course, we beat Dallas.
Yes, 1-0. And that's with the first ever league red card.
Yes. And then upcoming, as of this is posted, will be tomorrow, Thursday, May 8th. DC will be playing Dallas. Go DC.
Yep.
On Saturday, we will have two that's at 7 p.m. on Thursday. On Saturday, May 10th, we will have two matches, Brooklyn versus Spokane, and we will be playing Lexington at Lexington.
Yes.
And then we have a really random Tuesday match with DC versus Spokane. We want an upset, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, you don't
see it. They might hold them to a draw.
I see it. I think it's in the cards. I think it's possible. Look at it this way. Spokane is coming from the West Coast to play Brooklyn on Saturday. They play 90 minutes of soccer Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, travel. One of those is a travel day. One of those Sunday, a recovery day, Monday, a travel day, Tuesday, you're playing again. That's tough. And this is a DC team that is a week. They didn't play last week. They have a week of recovery, a week of game planning for Spokane. You know, they want to go out there and win games, even though they're mathematically eliminated. They want to upset some people. I think this is a good chance as any for a DC team that won their last game, has a week off to plan, has a week off to recover against what should be a really tired Spokane side. I think it's possible. It'll help us a lot if they do it. You know, don't rely on it. Just go out there and win. But, man, my second favorite women's soccer team in the world for the next week is the DC Power.
Sorry, Lizardsaurus. We need you to lose.
Yeah. Sorry to our bizarro friends across the continent. Yeah. Their own JD and Liz, but sorry.
Yeah.
So if everything goes our way, if DC gets the win against Dallas somehow, I don't see that happening as much as I see the Spokane thing. But if they win against Dallas, if DC wins on Tuesday against Spokane, if we take care of business against Lexington, if fourth place Spokane and fifth place Brooklyn settle with a point apiece and a draw, if all of that shakes out in the best case possible scenario for us, we end up in second place, 2 points ahead of Dallas, 5 points away from Spokane and Brooklyn. And that puts us
second place,
a home playoff game.
Oh.
Just got to take care of business. It's happening, baby.
I think I'm going to lose my mind if we actually get a home playoff game.
Oh my God. We deserve it. We deserve it more than everyone else.
I know.
We totally do.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely don't have sun-colored glasses on.
No. But yeah, that would, I mean, if that happens, that would be a home game against either, you know, if how I think this season ends, it's either Dallas or Spokane, which both are good teams. Both have played us tough every time we've played them. But we are much better at home than we are on the road. So if we get that leg up in the first part of the playoffs, you know, that's going to help a ton. That's all I'm wanting. We were the league leaders in signing players, announcing our coach, announcing our colors, our logo, doing everything right, looking so professional, looking like the darlings, league headquarters right there, league president Amanda Vandevort coming and drumming with us every game, basically. Man, this has to happen for us. I'm really hoping.
League leaders and championships.
Come on. We're going to win the whole damn league, baby.
Oh, I'm trying not to get my hopes too high, but they are already in the sky.
With the sun. Sky high. Sun high.
Yeah. Yep. It's hard not to be.
Yeah.
Especially after how we played in these last two matches. It's been good.
Yeah. We look great.
Yeah. So I want to say that about wraps it up for this week.
Yep.
Let's go the sun.
Let's go the sun.
Yeah. Love you guys. Bye. Oh, like and subscribe. Hit the buttons. The likey and the subscribey button at RBLR Sports on YouTube and at RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. Please hit the buttons for us and tell us that you like us.
Thanks for joining
us. We need that. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.